Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Bonte.
I call myself Tater Mac. Tater Mac. Like Tay, Tater Mac, and it was a terrible nickname.
Stiney.
Yeah! I need you to man up and say what you really want to say. Say it!
And Guru.
And the G in BS&G stands for Guru.
On 95.7, The Game.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to BS&G, but we got to take off the G today. We got to put a J there because John Dickinson is filling in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Matt Steinmetz is here. I'm here, of course. Right now, we're just trying to hold down the fort while the fire drill goes on in this building. We got lights going off, fire alarms going off, Steiny.
The fire alarm is going off, and we're just banking on it being a drill. But if the show goes off the air in 10 or 15, you'll know that the fire trucks are likely on the way.
Is it because of the hot takes from Joe Lowe and Dibs? Is this why we have a fire drill right now? What's going on in this building, JD?
It just, yeah, set the whole thing off. I think we will survive this thing. Right. It takes me back a little bit to the final regular season game the Warriors were playing. We actually had an actual fire alarm go off, and the fire trucks came out, and everybody exited the building, had to rush back in to be able to do Warriors wrap-up. Yeah, you weren't doing that one. That was a road game, 5 o'clock start. So that's, you were over those by that point.
Well, I was told to be over on those at that point.
Yeah, it was one of the 40 or 45 of them.
I got you.
We're going to have a fun show today. Go ahead, Scotty.
Here's where I'm going to start.
Go ahead, start. Where you want to
start? Because I've been condescending to those who are believing in the Giants. And I don't mean to be condescending. I just wonder if what has happened the last two or three weeks has really changed any of the Giants' strategy. But I'm willing to ask J.D. and Bonte, do you think that what is happening right now with the Giants is affecting what they may do in the next 10 to 12 days till the trading deadline?
Not yet. No.
Not yet?
No. I look at them at 47 and 49, and look, they're playing great baseball. You could make a case, all right, it extends out all the way to June 1st, where they're, 25 and 15, I guess, now in the last 40 games. But to me, it's more about what they do this weekend against the Mets, the following series against the Cubs, and then the next series, I believe, at San Diego after that. You go 10-2, well, you know what? You probably need to go 9-3 again to really put yourself in the conversation to make a change. And obviously the math on that, there's 10 games to go, so you got to maybe 7-3 or 8-2, let's say, in the next 10 games to really put yourself in a position where you change course. So, no, I don't think it has at this point.
I think they're going to continue to stand pat, although this report from Jeff Passan of ESPN, he's reporting that the Giants tried to trade Bumgarner last month, and there was just no deals basically on the table, so they're going to wait on that. Now, I am with JD where you have to still win, right? You have to keep winning. 7-3, 8-2, but I also think 6-4 in the National League, when you look at the rest of the league and where it's at with the Nationals and the Brewers right there having problems with their pitching staff, and the Pirates are now sliding. The Cardinals, where are they at? Like, I almost think that 6-4 will still have you in the race the week of the deadline, and you still may be 2 games out of the wild card spot. And then if you're farhand, you're thinking, all right, I'm still going to go along and execute the plan that I had all along and trading Bumgarner, trading Will Smith. It's just going to be a tough thing to do again. Steiny, we keep talking about it all week. If you are 2 out the week of the deadline with this ownership group and this fan base, and it's just going to be tough to do.
Yeah, I want to take that a step further because you have been saying that if they're 2 out, maybe 3 out. Here's the problem: what if you're 3 out, but there's only two teams in the National League worse than you at the at that point. Let's say the Giants go 5-5
right
over the next 10 days, and they're three back. They're still two or three games under, but they still have to leapfrog eight teams. That's going to be a tricky decision, I think.
No, that will be tricky. That's why I wouldn't want to be Farhan right now. I get it. He's getting paid the big bucks. This is what he signed up for. But when you look at this organization and what they've done over the last 25 and 30 years when it comes to being in contention, and it doesn't have to be big mega deals, you know, not the big blockbuster deal that you see with five players going one way, prospects going the other way. I mean, they've made moves like Kenny Lofton, right? Low risk, high reward moves. You know, Marco Scudero, we know about. Javier Lopez in the bullpen, helping you win three championships. I don't know, Steiny. You look at the numbers at home, and we've talked about their home record and what they've done at home. They're batting .226 at home. I think that's going to dictate a lot over these next seven games. Well, how do they play at home against the Mets and the Cubs at home? Because on the road, they've been really good.
Well, you know, the good news is we've been batting this around for a couple days. We got Joe Girardi coming on. What time we have him?
We
noon?
Got Joe Girardi coming on at
Joe
noon.
Joe Girardi, what he do?
Right.
What would he do? What would Joe Girardi do? Or what does he think the position the Giants are in right now? Because it does feel like they're in a little bit of no man's land, doesn't it?
Not really.
No.
I mean, I still think they're in a position where, you know, a couple of weeks ago, it was clear cut that they were going to sell. They were going to look to trade assets and build toward the future, whether that's a short-term future or a long-term future. And I think while what they've done in the last few weeks has been great and it's provided, you know, a boost of energy, you can see it when you're watching the games, you can feel it, I think, a little bit among the fan base just because they were so dreadfully awful the first 2 months of the season, just bad baseball.
Yep.
So you can see that it's different. But is it enough? And that's what I keep coming back to. You're still two games under 500. And so I just look at the next 10 and I say, all right, you go 8-2 in the next 10. That puts you 55-51. Well, 55-51, that's four over. Well, Milwaukee right now, second wild card, they're three over. That gives you, I think, a legitimate shot. Anything short of that, you're going to still be in the muck where you're right at 500 and you feel like you're in it, but there's still going to be so many other teams around you that it probably still isn't worth it to try and hang on to assets that may be more beneficial if you deal.
The one thing I was thinking about, I want to throw this to you guys too, is Farhan a fit as GM for this team? The more I think about it, the more I think everything he does well is what the Giants have stayed away from for a decade or so.
Right.
And I got to believe we'll find out. I don't know if we will find out, but I think we'll be able to read into what happens.
Right.
Whatever the Giants do, I think we'll know kind of where they're coming from.
Part of the reason he was brought in, though, was the fact that he doesn't have any ties or any sentimental attachment to the Madison Bumgarners of the world, the Buster Posey's, the Brandon Crawford's, the Brandon Belt. So, again, I look at it, the record, where he's at in terms of coming in with a fresh perspective and no ties to these guys, and I still think he's thinking he's taking that best offer and he's trading Madison Bumgarner in the next 2 weeks.
The good old power struggle, right? That's what you're referencing, Steiny. Thurman King, who's going to be – we'll find out who's really got the juice down at Oracle Park, right? Because Larry Bear, as you guys mentioned before we came on the airwaves, Larry Bear was hanging out with the team in Milwaukee, sitting by the dugout. Where's he at? How's he going to feel? You know, or how much juice does he have left to tell, hey, Farhan, we're in it. We're 55-51. Fans are coming back to the stadium. We're selling a couple more panda hats. Hold on here, pal. We're not selling quite yet. Well, that's what I wonder.
Yeah, and JD said, you know, that would go against the message they're delivering. Or they were trying to deliver when they hired Farhan. So it is going to be, I think it's going to be telling one way or the other. Because let's say they don't make any moves. They stand pat. I think that's going to be interpreted as they're going for it. Or they still think, maybe not going for it, but they're still in it.
Right.
And they're going to kind of play it that way down the middle.
I just don't see how there's any possible way that they stand pat. Madison Bumgarner may be around. Will Smith may be around. I don't see both of them being around. So, to me, there's no way we're going to look back 2 weeks from today on August 1st, and both of those guys are still going to be Giants.
Let me ask you this real quick, fellas. Going after Bryce Harper, was that a Farhan move or was that a Larry Bear move? I think it's obvious, but that doesn't seem like a Farhan type of move when you offer a player $300 million. Like, that didn't seem to fit Farhan's deal or his model there.
Yeah, that one I don't know about. I don't know about that. But the one thing I do wonder is what Giants would have to be traded for fans to get the message that they are thinking of the future?
Well, Madison Bumgarner.
See, yes, they would think that, but would that be an actuality? I mean, he hasn't been the big reason why they've turned this around.
Well, none of the guys that they've had for a while really have been the big reason why they've turned it around.
Well, that's true. That is true. But I want to know what kind of Giants fans would be, you know, able to handle, right, and kind of not able to handle, but realize the writing's on. This era is over, essentially, right. Because I think that's what if they trade Bumgarner, does it? I basically says this era is over.
That's how I feel, JD. If you trade Bumgarner because he is your horse, and you look at the rest of the pitching staff there, you may be getting 5 or 6 innings out of some of these guys. To me, it feels like if you trade Bumgarner, you're saying, hey, look, if we're still contending this season, we're fine. We're fine. But trading Bumgarner to me means that they're moving on and they're shutting down the championship era. So we'll take your phone calls at 888-957-9570. Giants fans, how do you feel if Farhan trades Madison Bumgarner? Does that mean it's the end of an era for you? 888-957-9570. Mike Florio will join us at 10:30 from ProFootballTalk.com. Ian Eagle, that's going to be a lot of fun. The play-by-play voice of the Brooklyn Nets. He'll join us at 11:30. And as you fellas mentioned earlier, Joe Girardi at high noon right here on 95.7 The Game. It's Matt Stein. It's John Dickinson. Bonte Hill. Don't forget, we have an ESPN Jeff Passan sound for you. He has a message for Giants fans, and you just may not want to hear it. But first, let's go to Stephen Langford with the latest on what's happening on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Stephen?
What's up, Bonte? And what's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Ticket Crushers. Baseball in the Bay is what's hot right now as the Giants completed the 4-game sweep of the Rockies. They went 6-1 on the road trip, and they're back home tonight as Madison Bumgarner toes the slab in the first of 3 against the Mets. Has winning 10 of the last 12 affected the Giants' plans toward the deadline? Well, Bonte, Steiny, and JD will talk to former Yankee manager, now MLB Network analyst Joe Girardi, about that at 12. Damon and Darren Smith will talk to manager Bruce Bochy about the run at 3:30. The Athletics have won 19 of their last 23 as they begin their own 7-game road trip in Minnesota to take on the AL Central leading Twins. And NFL Insider Week continues here at 95.7 The Game as Adam Kaplan will join Damon and Darren Smith today at 3. Big guest lineup on 95.7 The Game. And a little golf update, John Rahm has joined Brooks Koepka and Shane Lowry atop the Open Championship leaderboard at 4-under. Coming up, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio joins Bonte Steiny and JD next. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. That's 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Bonte Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Guru's on vacation. Where do you guys think Guru went? What is Guru doing?
I don't even know where he went. I'm ashamed to say.
He seems like a staycation kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Like he's around.
Yeah, you're probably right. In fact, hey, Goo, if you're around, text me right now. Text me right now, because there's no worse vacation than being at home and then listening to the same radio that you do every day.
If he's
listening, I'll be blown away.
You see Guru as a guy who disconnects from everything?
No.
I kind of feel like he listens all day long, even on vacation. Like I feel like Guru's that type of guy.
Yeah, and because he isn't on the air, you'll see an uptick in tweets as well and social media engagement, because
IG,
that's his one way of getting it out there.
Right. IG stories, JD. A lot of IG stories coming from Guru 100%. Over the next week and a half.
Hey, JD knows how to use the gram.
Oh, I'm
he does.
Look, JD, would you create your Instagram account? John Dickinson in for Dirt to Guru Johnson. Matt Stein, it's Vontae Hill. JD, would you create your account, what, about 6 months ago?
About 5 years ago, actually.
Really? Five years ago?
I just started using it in, like, November.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like the way you're using it, actually. Getting into cities. Hey,
using emojis. Emojis. Like, he's got everything going on IG.
And a few people tell me, boy, you should be doing it. Like, you'd be good at it. Like, you'd have a lot of different, like you said, cities. And, oh, you're out having a drink or you're out having a nice meal. Just kind of share some of the travels. And I thought, huh, okay, why not? I'll start doing it. And, yeah.
A little boomerang, everything. Yeah. Boomerang action.
I didn't get boomerang till maybe 2-3 weeks ago. But, yeah.
Okay. So, here's the one thing that we were talking about before the show that I want to bring on the air. Because I don't like it. And it's, could the A's and the Giants make a trade that would benefit both teams? And JD, you brought up, well, if you do that, you better make the right move, especially if it involves Bumgarner. But, like, isn't that the kind of confidence a GM has to show? And are you telling me that both these teams are operating out of fear so as to not trade with each other? I mean, is that really what it is? They're afraid to look bad in the Bay toward the other team?
I'm not saying they feel that way. What I'm saying is if I was Farhan Zaidi, I would not want any part of any kind of deal with the A's or the Giants, because to me there would be a pressure to, you better get a couple of dudes coming back, especially if you're going to send Madison Bumgarner across that Bay Bridge to the A's. I think Billy Beane has no pressure on him to do it. I think Billy Beane would love to do it. In fact, if I'm Billy Beane, I'm probably calling Farhan every single day. I'm saying, yeah, give me Bumgarner and Will Smith. Like, seriously. There's no downside if you're the A's and you're Billy Beane.
Could you imagine that, fellas, if Bumgarner did wear the green and gold and they go out there and make a deep October run? How sick Giants fans will be, and how Farhan would just get torched
that. That, Vontae, is exactly why, to me, you can't do it if you're Farhan. You can't even risk it, especially this early in your tenure.
I hate that.
Bumgarner to the A's, and he wins them a World Series, or he wins two games in a World Series, and Will Smith's making the last out of a World Series championship. You're done if you're Farhan at that point. You're done.
You're done already?
I'm not saying you're wrong. You're probably
like,
right.
That would be a
hate that. Well, That's weak. I really do think that. By the way, if Bumgarner goes to the A's and they win it, he's like Kawhi Leonard. He's the Kawhi Leonard of Major League Baseball.
And he's leaving Oakland? I mean, he does love the Bay Area. You think there's a chance? Because we're going to talk to Joe Girardi at 12 o'clock. And the Yankees have made a deal where they traded Chapman to the Cubs. And they were able to re-sign Chapman the following offseason. Is there any chance that if the Giants do trade Bumgarner, that Farhan would look to re-sign Bumgarner? Because I don't know what his, like JD, Steiny, I don't know what his market would be in the offseason. Like, how much money would he be able to make per year? Because we saw a lot of pitchers had to wait. Dallas Keuchel, for example, didn't sign until midseason with the Atlanta Braves. Like, what would the market be for Bumgarner, or will he be willing to come back and play for the Giants after getting traded?
You know what the market for Bumgarner will be? However he pitches from this point forward, I think. Because that's really why a team would go get Bumgarner for the last 2 months and then the playoffs. And you know what? And tell me, Bumgarner's the one guy I may try to get if I also knew I'm going to be a wild card team, because that's the guy who can get you from the wild card game into the real postseason, what I call it.
Yeah, to me, if you look at the numbers and the analytics, they would say, okay, Bumgarner is probably going to be worth X, and the one way he can bump that up a level or two is if he is able to pitch in the postseason and recapture what he had in 2014, 2012, 2010, because That's the lore of Bumgarner is still out there.
No doubt.
But I think there is some question among a lot of general managers and just among people that watch the game regularly. Does he still have that? Does he still have that? Or is that gone just like the numbers say his game isn't as good as it used to be? He's still got it until he proves that he doesn't have it. So I think he can raise his level of what he's going to get paid big time if he can go out there and, let's say, do it again.
And I think that's been one of the problems with the Giants. The lure of Bumgarner. Well, there's the lure of Posey, the lure of Belt,
right?
The lure of Crawford. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And that's where I really am starting to think about Farhan, Zaidi, his philosophy with what the Giants have been, with their history, with the Giants' history, essentially.
We're going to do rapid fire. We're bringing rapid fire back to the show. You guys had a lot of fun with it with Guru. What's up, Star?
A good text here from the 415. What would an American League club do with Bumgarner's bat?
Wow. That's a good call.
Make him a DH?
They've got a kid in Tampa. What's his name? Mackie or McKee or something? He just got called up. He pitches any hits, kind of like Shohei Ohtani. I think Bumgarner, McKay, it's McKay. Yeah, he's a hot rookie. Beat the Yankees the other night, I believe. Or no, he went 5 shutout against the Orioles, my bad, in the doubleheader Saturday. But he's a good player, and he also has a good bat, kind of like Shohei Ohtani.
If Bumgarner had a bat 3 or 4 times a day, and you were just imagine you're a regular player, he had to play 150 games, 600 at-bats, would he be a better hitter or worse hitter than he is now?
I could be a better hitter.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my gosh. I would have thought, no doubt, he'd be worse.
No, I think if you told Bumgarner, you're a hitter, you're no longer a pitcher, you're a hitter, like take an offseason and come back a hitter, I think he'd be a good – I think he'd hit 15, 20 home runs.
20 home runs? 20 jacks?
I think, yeah.
Have power, man.
I think he'd hit, let's say, between 230 and 250 with 15 to 20 homers.
That would be like their third best hitter right now.
How do you think pitchers would look at Bumgarner if he was a full-time hitter? With all the shenanigans he's gone through, you know, with guys hitting home runs off of him, him barking at players. What if he was in a box for 600 at-bats?
Yeah, he'd probably get thrown at a lot.
Yeah.
You're probably right. But maybe if he wasn't pitching, people wouldn't dislike him as much.
Yeah, that's true.
Put him out in left field, nobody cares.
He'd have a couple coming to him, I think. And he'd probably know it and own it and be fine with it.
From the Chilton Auto Body text line, from the 408, trading Bumgarner to the A's would be cool, better than him winning it with the Dodgers. We don't hate the A's that much. It's a Giants fan right there. Interesting.
That's the only caveat to my scenario would be if Bumgarner with the A's prevented the Dodgers from winning the World Series. Like, let's say those two meet circa 1988 all over again.
Right.
Because, I mean, look, Giants fans are rooting. As much as A's fans wouldn't want to hear it, the A's are playing the Dodgers. Giants fans are rooting for the A's.
They're wearing green hats.
They're rooting, especially if Bumgarner's on the A's.
Well, the other thing is if you trade Bumgarner to the A's, I think you have to come out and say, even if it's not true, came down to the A's and the Dodgers.
Just
the Dodgers made a good deal, too, but we can't trade within our division. You know, that would take a little heat off, too.
Mike Florio is going to join us at 10:30 here in a couple minutes to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and his report back on the 4th of July. We'll get his thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo and his standing with the San Francisco 49ers in a couple minutes. But as I mentioned before, rapid fire at 1 p.m., A's and Giants fans, and Steiny came up with this question. I think it's a great question. We're struggling here a bit to tie in a question. But what's more likely, the A's winning a division title or the Giants winning a wild card spot? We're going to do that at 1 o'clock. 888-957-9570. Almost forgot the number there. 888-957-9570. A's and Giants fans, you get a chance to sound off at 1 p.m. rapid fire. What's more likely to happen in this baseball season? A's winning the AL West or the Giants winning an NL wild card? We're going to do that at 1 p.m.
That is a good question.
Pat yourself on the back.
That was me. That was me. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know what? The one thing I do know is I don't want to see the A's in another wild card game. I just don't want to see it. It just doesn't play to their strengths, really. Obviously, they don't have a huge, you know, Fires is nice. But they've been beaten by big arms. Verlander twice. Beat him last year, Severino.
Yeah, he wasn't that good, though.
No.
A struck out. Who did Chris Davis struck out with the bases loaded in that game? They had the opener, I believe, in that game, Liam Hendricks, and he gave up 3 right off the bat.
I mean, the natural to me would be Bumgarner on the Yankees with the short right field porch and him being a left-hander. That's the team that, man, if they get Bumgarner, what is it, a wrap? Saran? Like Saran?
Nah.
As Goo would say? Dodgers Yankees World Series lock?
I still like the Astros.
Well, the Astros, of course.
I mean, I think the Astros could use him just as much as the Yankees, and maybe even to hold off the A's, because you know, once the A's get going, I mean, they're tough to stop. Yeah. They just get hot and stay hot.
All right, we've been talking a lot of football this week, especially with the 49ers. Training camp is next week. Players are going to report to Santa Clara next week and then hit the practice field. And it's a lot of question marks with this football team, especially the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's only played in 10 games in his NFL career. He got hurt last season in week number 3 against the Kansas City Chiefs, tore his ACL, trying to make a cut late in the fourth quarter. Didn't look all that good in those 3 games. Let's be honest here, fellas. The Detroit game, he took 6 sacks. He almost threw the pick 6 there at the end of the game. There's a bogus defensive holding call there to save the 49ers from losing their home opener a season ago. And Mike Florio's been all over this. Mike Florio, of course, of Pro Football Talk, the creator of ProFootballTalk.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio here on 95.7 The Game with Matt Steinmetz, John Dickinson, and Bonte Hill, courtesy of the Dow Pack guest line. And Mike, you had a report over the holiday, over the 4th of July holiday, about the Niners possibly moving off of Jimmy G if things don't go well this season. I mean, do you really think that, Mike, that if Jimmy G struggles in 2019, that the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan will move off of Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy they just gave a boatload of money to a season ago?
Yeah, let me be precise in what we said. We didn't report anything in the classic sense that someone close to Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch or anyone else with the organization is suggesting that the 49ers will do it. I'm just looking at the broader circumstances and considering that Jimmy Garoppolo's performance last year was a disappointment. They have to be exasperated with the fact that he created that ACL injury by choosing to cut back inside and deliver a blow to a Kansas City defensive player. Now the heat is on him to live up to that contract. And you look at what he's making this year, you look at the average value of the deal, and I think most importantly, you look at the consequences of moving on after this season, if that's what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would choose to do. And they're getting deeper and deeper into their 6-year, fully guaranteed with no outset contract, where it becomes easier for ownership to make a change if they're not happy with where things are. And I think that before Lynch and Shanahan would be gone, they would consider trying something else at quarterback. There would be a cap charge of merely $4.2 million if they would move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. The way those contracts are set up, they have until April 1 to make a decision before guarantees vest, to the extent there is even any guarantee beyond this year. And there is. There's 15.7 that becomes fully guaranteed on April 1. They love that April 1 deadline because it gives them all of March before they have to make a final decision. They're really the only team that does that, and it's smart, so they can assess what Garoppolo does this year. They can see what else is out there by way of alternative options, and they can wait all the way until March 31 to make a move on Jimmy Garoppolo before that $15.7 million of his $23.8 million salary would kick in as fully guaranteed. So they have the luxury of taking a step back and looking at all their options, and if Garoppolo is disappointing this year, I don't see why they wouldn't.
Mike, you like Garoppolo?
I think it's too early to tell, right? I like quarterbacks that stay healthy. And I think it's critical to be a franchise quarterback. You have to be available to your franchise. You have to know how to avoid getting injured. And there are plenty of guys out there who fall into that category of they're too reckless. They don't know where that line is between being tough, being durable, and being available. Whether it's Carson Wentz, we've seen it in the past with RG3. And now with Jimmy Garoppolo, here's a guy that he had a 4-game audition in 2016. And what happened? He got injured in the second game. So you've got to prove to me that you can stay healthy. I mean, look at the difference between Garoppolo's ACL tear and Tom Brady's ACL tear in 2008. Brady's just standing in the pocket trying to make a throw, and Bernard Pollard dives into his leg. That's unavoidable. Running down the sideline and deciding you're going to prove that you're a tough guy and you can cut back inside and deliver a hit to a defensive player is stupid. And that's the line that Garoppolo is clearly on the wrong side of. Can he get on the right side of that line? Can he stay on the right side of that line? Can he avoid the injuries that have happened to him in the past? And I think that's a key part of it. He needs to start all 16 games. He needs to play them well, but I think he needs to start all 16 games before anybody's going to view him as a guy who can be a franchise quarterback over the long haul. And the rules are so skewed in favor of keeping quarterbacks healthy. There's really no excuse for quarterbacks to get injured and miss games in this day and age in the NFL.
Mike, if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't work out, and you've laid out a scenario where maybe that how it would look if that happened, who would take the fall for that more, Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch, and why?
Well, look, I could see Kyle Shanahan trying to blame it on John Lynch because, by all appearances, Lynch is the one that talked Shanahan into going along with Jimmy Garoppolo at a time when Shanahan seemed to be biding his time for a chance to sign Kirk Cousins, because that trade happened during the 2017 season with San Francisco knowing full well that Kirk Cousins was likely going to be available in unrestricted free agency the following March. And instead of waiting for that, they gave the second-round pick to the Patriots. They got Jimmy Garoppolo, and it really felt like something that Lynch spearheaded from the standpoint of persuading Shanahan to go along with it. And initially, Shanahan was upset. Remember John Lynch had that comment and I can't remember the specific quote, but it indicated that Shanahan was upset when Garoppolo became the quarterback, because that meant no Kirk Cousins. And when you look at the dynamics in Minnesota, and I don't know how Kirk Cousins is going to play this year, but if they don't get to the playoffs in the second of that three-year, $84 million fully guaranteed contract that Cousins has, would it be ludicrous to see a situation where the Vikings would dangle Kirk Cousins in trade and the 49ers would be interested in making him the guy? And if the Vikings pick up part of that salary that Cousins is due to make next year and the 49ers can get Cousins for the same price they'd have to pay Garoppolo, is it ridiculous to think that that would happen? I don't think that's a ridiculous scenario. I know a lot of people do, but crazier things have happened. And we have to remember that Shanahan was the offensive coordinator in Washington when his dad drafted Kirk Cousins 7 years ago.
Mike Florio here on 95.7 The Game, creator of ProFootballTalk.com, courtesy of the Dial Pack guest line. Let me ask you this, Mike. How good of a coach is Kyle Shanahan in your eyes?
Well, I think he's a very good coach. He just needs to have time to get the personnel around him that can run his offense. You know, my one criticism of him is that he's inflexible when it comes to his system. He wants his system to be run regardless of whether or not he has the guys to run his system. Now, other coaches would say, I'll adapt the system to the players that I have. So he wants to run his system. He needs the offensive lineman who can run his system. He needs the running backs who can run his system. He needs the quarterback who can run his system. And, you know, we saw what happened in Atlanta his second year there as offensive coordinator. As they got the offensive line that they needed to run that system, they exploded. And in hindsight, you know, if you're a Falcons fan, you may think, we'd have been better off making Kyle Shanahan the head coach and not hiring Dan Quinn, because then Shanahan would still be here and he'd still be running the offense with Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and all the pieces that they made work at a very high level up until the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 51. So I think Shanahan can be a very good coach once he gets the pieces and once they stay healthy that he needs to run his system. And, you know, this is year three. And within the next year or two, we're going to find out whether or not it's good enough for him to continue to be the coach of the 49ers, because at some point the pace, and I think Jed York and the rest of ownership is trying so desperately to show that they have patience after that revolving door that we saw from Harbaugh to Tom Sula to Chip Kelly, but that patience isn't going to be indefinite. And I think within the next couple of years, Shanahan's going to have to show some wins and the excuses are going to go out the window. But I think he's capable of being a very good coach. He just needs the players that he needs to run his system, and he needs them to stay healthy.
Mike, I got to ask you about the Raiders. How good are the Raiders, do you think? Because it seems like there is a wide chasm between being not very good, but then they could be very good. Where are you on the Raiders?
I think that it's like a Frankenstein monster of a football team, where it's a bunch of different parts thrown together, and the hope is that through the sheer force of will of John Gruden, it can turn into a successful team. But the problem is the brain of the team, the quarterback position. I don't think Derek Carr is going to work for the Raiders over the long haul, and I know that pisses off Raiders fans, and I really can't be bothered by that. I have to speak what I think is the truth. And I remember back when Gruden's name first came up, somebody who was very plugged in with the way the NFL works called me up and said, this is going to be a disaster because Derek Carr will not be able to take the relentless assault of John Gruden, or John Gruden is going to soften his approach so much that he's not John Gruden. Either way, Derek Carr is not constituted to deal with John Gruden. And I think that, remember when Mike Mayock came out and said it after they were looking at Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins before the draft? I mean, Mayock could have came out and said,
Well, we're trying to get an idea of what these guys are all about in the event that we're in a position to trade our pick to somebody who wants to come up and get these guys. That's the easy response to doing your due diligence on rookie quarterbacks. What he said was, hey, we owe to the organization to always be looking to upgrade at every position, including quarterbacks. So Derek Carr clearly is on notice, regardless of anything he says. And he had that diatribe that he got into at one of the offseason practices about how he's going to be the quarterback as long as he wants to be. He doesn't understand how the NFL works, if that's what he thinks. At some point, they're going to be done with him. And based upon how things go this year, look, if the Antonio Brown thing is a failure, it's not going to be Antonio Brown's fault. It's not going to be John Gruden's fault. It's not going to be Mark Davis's fault. It's not going to be Mike Mayock's fault. It's going to be Derek Carr's fault.
Mike, I want to go back to the 49ers. We ran through some of the things that might go wrong, but in your mind, what's the ceiling for this team if things go right?
Well, wild card berth, I don't know. Between the Rams and the Seahawks, I'd see one of those two teams winning the division. But crazy things have happened. Like, who would have dreamed that the Bears would win the NFC North last year? You know, every year there's a team that starts off hot, that builds momentum, confidence leads to more confidence. And before you know it, you're halfway through the season. It's like, holy crap, this team is good this year. Would it be ridiculous to think that could happen to the 49ers? Absolutely not. I think that the Rams are going to take a step back. I believe more in the Seahawks right now than the Rams. But I could see the 49ers get things rolling in the right direction. It all comes down to Garoppolo. Can he make that offense go? Can he stay healthy? Can this team begin to build some momentum and sustain momentum? Just like that glimpse we saw at the end of the 2017 season, can they finally kickstart the season that way and, you know, wake up at the midpoint of the season with a 6-2 record and realize they're in pretty good position for the stretch run?
Mike, it doesn't sound like you're high on the Bay Area pro quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, the jury's out on Garoppolo. And now with Derek Carr, I just think that he had that one really good year up until the Thursday night game at Kansas City where he kind of disqualified himself from the MVP race, and then he suffered the broken leg, which was kind of a fluke thing late in the season. Didn't get a chance to play in the postseason. But what's he really done since then? I think that he's an average quarterback who was in the right place at the right time to get that $25 billion a year contract. And I think there's a good chance that when the team moves to Las Vegas after this season, they're going to be leaving him behind.
Wow, good stuff. Mike, creator of ProFootballTalk.com. We really appreciate the time today. We got to do this again soon once the season starts.
All right, guys, anytime.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Let's react to that, fellas. What you just heard from Mike Florio there, what did you think? Is Derek Carr overrated? Is he the long-term solution for the Oakland Raiders? And are the Niners a wild card team? If everything goes right, can the 49ers make the playoffs? 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Matt Stein, it's John Dickinson in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. I am Bonte Hill, and it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
I think it's too early to tell, right? I like quarterbacks to stay healthy. And I think it's critical to be a franchise quarterback. You have to be available to your franchise. You have to know how to avoid getting injured. And there are plenty of guys out there who fall into that category of they're too reckless. They don't know where that line is between being tough, being durable, and being available. Whether it's Carson Wentz, we've seen it in the past with RG3. And now with Jimmy Garoppolo, here's a guy that he had a four-game audition in 2016. And what happened? He got injured in the second game. So you've got to prove to me that you can stay healthy.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That was Mike Florio moments ago right here on 95.7 The Game, bringing the heat, talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, his thoughts on Derek Carr. Wasn't really a fan of D.C. out there in Oakland, California. We'll take your calls on that. 888-957-9570. What do you think of what Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk had to say about the Bay Area football teams?
Well, believe it or not, you know what I've been thinking about a lot? The play that Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt on, where he should have run out of bounds, but he didn't. And why didn't he run out of bounds? And I'm trying to answer that question. Because if Jimmy Garoppolo viewed himself as a franchise quarterback, and maybe had been here a couple. There's no way he tries to go upfield on that. There's no way. So it's like the 49ers got Garoppolo to be their franchise quarterback, but he's playing like he has to prove himself. That's the only reason you do that, right? It's because you're trying to either make a play or prove something, or maybe it's just inexperience. I don't know, but a franchise quarterback clearly runs out of bounds there.
I think it's inexperience. I think it's bullheaded. I think Florio nailed it. It's trying to be the tough guy. I think it's the same thing that makes you throw the pass against the Lions that gets run back for a touchdown that gets overturned. It's the Tony Romo gene, to be honest, where you might have a lot of the good things, but you might have a lot of the bad things, too, that come with it. A risk taker, somebody that puts himself in position to not only make losing plays in critical moments, even though he makes a ton of winning plays,
right,
but also somebody that puts his availability in jeopardy because he wants to be the guy that's going to hang in there and be tough. It's a lot like a guy like Jeff Samardzija. You know, Samardzija's going to throw that 93 right down the middle because he doesn't think you can hit it, and then he's going to snap his head back because somebody hits it 450 feet.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. And even in a Minnesota game where he threw the pick six, there's a miscommunication with the Ricky or Kendrick Bourne, I believe, and Dante Pettis was on that side. But overload blitz on that side, right in his face, just take the sack. Take the sack. Instead, he throws it up. It's a pick six. You're down 24-6 early in the third quarter in week one of last season. I mean, even in that Detroit game, JD, when he did throw the pick six, there were sacks that he took where he would roll out left, and instead of throwing it away, he'd take the sack. And it's just like, you studied under Tom Brady. How could you be that bullheaded in a situation like that when you got the big flashy contract, right? You got the big headline, 65 or 61 million over the first two seasons. It's inexplicable.
Well, they trade for Garoppolo, and everybody's excited. Then he comes in and he wins. And now you're going into the offseason, and everybody is really, really excited. And he gets hurt. Well, now he gets hurt. Well, now it feels like the optimism isn't quite there anymore.
It's not.
What? Instead of Garoppolo, he's got a chance to be great.
Right.
It's now, what is Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, what is he? How good is he? We don't know.
Yeah, I'm just of the belief that he earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt coming into last season based on how well he played and everything was going well and they were winning close games and he seemed in control. He earned that going into 2018. Going into 2019, he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt. Now it is more, in my mind, aligned with what Mike Florio is talking about. He's got to prove that he can stay healthy. He's got to prove that he's not going to make the big mistake. And he's also going to have to go back and reclaim a lot of the things that he did well at the end of 2017.
Well, how about this? One play may be the difference between giving him a break and all kinds of pressure on him. He throws that pick six against Detroit, and they lose that game.
0-2.
I mean, not only that, then you look at his whole, his games before the injury, and you're like, oh, my God, this guy might not be very good. One play.
His season would have been a disaster
if that
play had counted.
Exactly. Yep.
A disaster.
Exactly. And that's something that's also got to kind of be in the back of your head. And I think that's what Florio was saying.
Right.
We don't know what he is. We don't know what he is.
How about this, fellas? When you just look at his career, you know, obviously he was on the bench playing behind Tom Brady, but he's played, if you take away the preseason and just look at regular season games, he's played in 10 football games that meant something since he was drafted in 2014. He hasn't played a lot of football in the last 5 years. So even coming into this season, you got to expect, right, that he's still going to make mistakes from a guy who hasn't consistently played over the last 5 years. He's been a backup quarterback. I mean, that's wild to me that he's only played 10 games that meant something since 2014 when he was in college.
Yeah, and you're starting to, like, the way I'm looking at the Niners this year, last year I was excited about Garoppolo, and he hasn't become a worse quarterback. He just got hurt. That's all that happened. He got hurt. But there's no doubt now there's pressure on him. He and I think I don't really care about what the record is, whether they go 7-9 or 8-8. Obviously, if they go worse than that, it's a problem. But it's going to be the eye test, JD. It's going to be, how does this guy look in the pocket running an offense? And can he last? Can he play 14 games? Forget 16. Can he play 14?
Chilton Autobody text line, I think, says it succinctly. 510, obviously it's play smarter, not harder. I mean, that's the whole interception thing, play smarter, and obviously trying not to make a play that gets you hurt.
A lot of question marks coming to my head when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, because I know he went 5-0, and we were all stoked going into the next season. Wow, Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners may have found something here. They got their franchise quarterback. I just wonder if teams said, okay, we have tape now. We saw him for 5 games. We saw that game in Arizona he had with New England when Tom Brady was suspended. We had the film on his half against Miami when he got popped by Kiko Alonso. I just wonder if teams got film now and they said, this guy, we got him. He's nothing special. Like Jalen Ramsey was popping off at the mouth, right? And I remember, JD, being at Levi's and going in the Jaguars locker room. And a lot of those guys there said, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Telvin Smith, he's nothing special, man. It's a system quarterback. System quarterback, he's average. I just wonder now if NFL teams start to think like that, or if the Rams or the Seahawks and the Cardinals and everybody in the NFC are saying, they pay Jimmy Garoppolo, please. He's nothing special.
Well, if he's an average quarterback, then Shanahan, the system better be good. If he's a system quarterback.
Well, and aren't the 49ers counting on him to be better than average?
They better.
He has to, right?
No doubt.
You see that contract?
Yeah.
Like, when you get paid
well,
the big bucks like
not
that.
Not even the contract. It's just wins and losses.
Sure.
I know you said, right. You know, well, wins and losses, it's going to be more about how does it look than the overall record. To me, it's, no, you need to be able to win with this guy. You better be 8-8
right. And
if it looks halfway decent.
Why do you think they're going to be 8-8? Do you think that's the talent they have?
I'm not sure they are going to be.
Oh, okay.
Right. And I'm not saying they can't be
right.
Either. They things could break their way, and he could play pretty well, and they win a bunch of close games like they did at the end of 2017, and there you go. You're on your way. I mean, to me, it's all how you manage the early part of the season. Do you set yourself up by being good enough early to where you
right.
can make a run as the season goes on? I'm not saying he can't be good and they can't be good. But the onus is on him to prove it. There's no more, oh, well, they're going to be good because of X, Y.
Right.
Now there's just as much of a question in 3 or 4 or 5 different areas as there was maybe we thought we had some answers going into a year ago.
888-957-9570, what's your expectations for Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers this upcoming season? 888-957-9570. JD, both of you guys, I'm going to ask both of you guys why. I guess I do know why the expectations were kind of high last year, because everybody was talking about them being a fringe playoff team. Hell, I think I picked them to go 10-6. But when I look back at it, and you look back at the defense and the inexperience at the safety position and who's going to be your alpha dog as a wide receiver, can Garcon stay healthy, where's Marquise Goodwin at? Now I look back and say, what the hell was I thinking? When you look at the talent, the talent now obviously has been upgraded for this season. But why were expectations so damn high for this team? Were people just thirsty for the 49ers to be good again around here? Like, even the national media right now, we heard Peter King the other day on Damon Bruce. If Garoppolo doesn't slip on a banana peel, they're going to win 10 games. Like, I don't know what people are seeing. Maybe I don't see it. JD, I don't see it right now.
I think you touched on it. Are we thirsty? Yes, we are.
Yeah.
I think 49ers fans are thirsty. I think us in the media are thirsty. We've seen a lot of bad football the last 4 years, going back 15, 16,
yep.
17, 18,
yeah.
even
yeah.
14. Boy, you dream for an 8-8, but the 8-8 and 14 felt like it was 3-13
exactly.
that last year with Jim Harbaugh, with all the drama
yep.
and everything going on there. So, yeah, the Bay Area is thirsty. 49er fans are thirsty. They want to have something to believe in coming into this season.
It's interesting because after having Florio on, he basically painted a picture where both Bay Area quarterbacks are playing for their jobs this year, period. He said he doesn't expect Derek Carr to make it to Vegas. And the 49ers obviously have to see something with Garoppolo to not just let him go, you know, to obviously want him on the team. And I'm trying to think, man, if Carr and Garoppolo aren't the guys you want them to be, you got problems. Then you once again need to fill the hardest position in football.
Big problems. And you go on a year four needing another quarterback if you're Lynch and Shanahan.
Exactly.
That's dangerous. That resets everything. It almost resets everything. Because there's no guarantee the Vikings move off of Kirk Cousins. Like, who's going to be available out there? You're going to draft a rookie, maybe? Justin Herbert or Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama? Like, I don't know what you do if you do move off of Garoppolo in year four and you're Shanahan saying, oh, I got a new quarterback here. Like, you're rolling with Nick Mullins? Like, what do you do there?
This is why I believe the 2019 season is going to define the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch era with the San Francisco 49ers. They're either going to trend toward something being tangible or it's going to completely not work. And this year, we're going to know one way or the other. If this year we're looking back and it's, even if it's, well, these guys got hurt and this guy couldn't come through and, oh, the close kick, none of that, none of it is an excuse this year. None of it is. Close games, one play away, shoulda, coulda, woulda, somebody got hurt. That's all off the table. You know, there's been a lot of that these last 2 years.
Right.
Well, this team was so close.
Right.
That's done. If this is another, under any circumstances, 5-11, 6-10, even if injuries are part of that story, this thing is trending in a way that it won't be able to be salvaged. They need the end of the year to be on an uptick,
right,
to where it looks like they are actually building something. The time's run out on them.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Matt Steinmetz, John Dickinson in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. We were just reacting to Mike Florio and what he had to say about the Bay Area quarterbacks. A lot of question marks with both guys. Derek Carr, I think I tweeted a year ago, I don't see Derek Carr making it to Vegas. That was my hot take. When you look at John Gruden and you look at Mayock and you look at the Raiders and Antonio Brown, like if Derek Carr's checking it down this year to Jalen Richard, Antonio Brown's, there'd be a tip of territory by week two if that happens. And then the question marks are Jimmy Garoppolo. Steiny, you had something on your mind there. I heard you chuckle.
Yeah, but I forgot what I was going to say, which isn't the first time. It had something to do with the quarterbacks. Let's go to Trey in Oakland. He's been waiting for a while. I want to see what he's got to say.
Hey, what's going on with you guys this morning?
Good, man. What's up, Trey?
Oh, man, you know, just talking about this thing. And, Matt, you know what? You brought up a good point about Jimmy Garoppolo. Can he play a full season? That's going to be the question. But you know what? The thing that I really want to touch on is this. I think sometimes we fall into the hype of anything with the New England Patriots produce and what they do. And, like, and I'll be the first to give props to Bill Belichick. What he has done is phenomenal. I'm over there. But I look at this situation with Jimmy Garoppolo, and I want to get your opinion on this too, Matt. Matt Castle had a lot of hype behind him too. I don't even think Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Matt Castle. That's just my personal opinion. I know there's a lot of Niner fans saying, what?
Damn. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Matt Castle. And Matt Castle had that same kind of feeling that Jimmy Garoppolo had. I think we buy into the fact that the New England Patriots has a system that works for them. Every Patriots quarterback that has left that system, what have they done? And I'll take your thoughts off air.
I mean, I just think that if – I always look at it from both sides because it's easy to say, God, 49ers, they got Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they got a shot at they might have a franchise quarterback. Okay, you got to look at it from the other side. Why did Bill Belichick trade Jimmy Garoppolo – when Tom Brady's 40-plus years old? Now, I know, Robert Kraft, Brady's Robert Kraft's guy, all that stuff. Still.
Matt Castle, J.D. He said but Matt Bill, Castle's
Bill,
better
Bill
than
Belichick,
Garoppolo.
I find it hard to believe that Bill Belichick would sabotage the Patriots just because he's in a little back and forth with Kraft about how long Brady's going to play. I think he knew in his mind that Garoppolo isn't the guy. I don't know what that means. It might not mean Belichick thinks he's going to stink, but Belichick, I think, knew he's not going to be the quarterback that we wanted him to be or we hoped he would be or the guy, or maybe even the heir apparent to Brady.
He better be better than Matt Cassel.
He said Matt Cassel, man. He dropped the Matt Cassel on us, JD.
He better be better than Matt Cassel. That's all. I mean, that's all I got.
You know a guy I was thinking about who was also a backup quarterback on that same Patriots team was Jacoby Brissett. I believe Jacoby Brissett will be a free agent after the season with the Colts. And he had a decent year when Andrew Luck was out. Jacoby Brissett, is he the better backup quarterback? Like, I like his game. He's big. He's 6'4". He's strong. He's a bit more mobile, has a nice arm. But the guy dropped Matt Cassel on us. If Garoppolo's worse than Matt Cassel, 49ers aren't winning more than four games. That's just the truth.
Let's go to Sean in Vacaville. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, guys? My take,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.